This is tape number 10, Levels of Thinking, Generators. In this part, Len describes the fifth level of thinking, generative thinking, which is the level of thinking characteristic of mature adults. Listen as he uses a river analogy to show how this level of thinking differs from the other levels. Refer to generators on handouts number 4, 5, 6, and 7.
In this part, I want to explore the fifth level of thinking, the level of thinking that's characteristic of mature adults. It's what I call generative thinking. There is an analogy that I've used for years that shows the experience we have of moving up through each of the levels of thinking. The analogy is a river analogy. I believe that there is a qualitative difference between this fifth stage and the other four stages. In the first four levels of thinking, in one way or another, I'm operating out of a posture of scarcity, in which I'm afraid that there's not enough, that there's not going to be enough, other people won't give me enough, and I'm afraid that I'm not enough. And consequently, in one way or another, I try to control my world. I try to control my world with force, or deception, or persuasion, or guilt and obligation, or tough independence. When I move into this fifth level of thinking, I move into a world of abundance. A world of abundance that's essentially created by my trust in myself and my limitedness. If I think about that in terms of a river analogy, if you think about your life as a river journey that you've been on, as enforcers, I assume that in order to make the journey, I need a barge or a battleship. I need to force my way down the river. If anybody gets in my way, I knock them out. I drown them. It's true that there are times in our lives when we need barges, when we have heavy loads to carry for short distances. But it's not the way I want to go around the world. It's not the way I want to make my whole journey. Because one limitation is that at the end of the journey, there's nobody left to celebrate the journey with. And the irony is that the bigger the barge, the bigger the wave that comes along to sink it. If I'm always going to go for the big kill, if it's always going to be last chance, all or nothing, the law of averages says that sooner or later I lose the bet. And then I find myself bargeless. I find myself trying to swim against the current, to find some safe place in the past. But of course, I can't do that. The current wears me out. It sucks me down into the hydraulics and the whirlpools. I get confused or I get thrown out on the bank. I'm beached. Either I'm afraid or I don't know how to get back in the river. Trying to barge it is not a way to go through life that works very well. As a scorekeeper, I think that to make the journey, I need to do it as a submarine or I need to do it as a riverboat gambler. I need to hustle my way down the river and con other people into giving me free rides. What's true is that if I'm a smart hustler, I can make a lot of money. I can collect a lot of things. But there are two things I cannot have. One is I can't have satisfying relationships because I don't trust others and they don't trust me. It's not a lot of fun celebrating a journey at the end with a lot of people who would like to even the score with us. And that leads to the second thing I can't have, and that is I cannot have rest because I've always got to be watching my left flank for somebody to come back and try to get it back from me. What's true, the irony for us as scorekeepers, as hustlers, is that the more successful we get, the less successful we are. The more we own, the less we have. The richer we get, the poorer we get because we become more paranoid. We become more afraid of losing what we have. And we have to spend all of our energy to try to hoard it or protect it, try to keep other people from getting it away from us. So we never really get to enjoy it. As peacemakers, I look around, I still don't believe I can make the journey on my own, and other people seem to have boats and seem to know how to do it. So I climb into somebody else's boat, and I try to convince them to give me a free ride. And I'll agree to be whoever or guarantee me a ride all the way down the river. And I agree to be whoever they want me to be, provided I will be guaranteed safe passage. And so I please them, I take care of them, I be who they want me to be. Problem is, sometimes what I thought was going to be guaranteed passage turns out not to be. They die, or they divorce me, or they sell the company, or they reorganize, or they fire me, or something happens. And then I feel hurt, used, disappointed, and betrayed after all I did for them. Other times, I can make it all the way down the river this way. And at the end of the journey, there will be people who care about me and whom I care about. But I'll still die with some things missing. For one thing, there'll be a lot of things I could never talk about because I didn't think they would fit within the prescribed rules and laws of what was acceptable. I didn't think the other person would understand. I'd be afraid that they would judge me as being wrong or bad. So there's a whole part of me that's going to be lonely for what I couldn't reveal about myself, what I couldn't disclose. And there'll be a part of me that'll be resentful because we couldn't talk about a lot of things. There are going to be things between us that go unresolved. You know, it's a tough way to die because people keep coming in your room telling you how good you look. And that's not what you need to talk about. You need to talk about what your fears are. You need to talk about how you're going through this process. You need to talk about what this means for you. You don't need to talk about how good you look. And the biggest price, perhaps, that we pay in this stage is that we always make the journey following somebody else's schedule and agenda, and we never get to do it in the way that we need to do it for ourselves. And that's a pretty big price. If at some point I decide the price is too high, I decide to get out of their boat and into my own, and I try to convince everybody I'm getting into a battleship. But it feels more like a dinghy. And it's really both. It's kind of a dinghy battleship. And I push off with great bravado to prove to them that I don't need them and I can make it on my own. And while I may have a few false starts, I can usually make it on my own. And I'll be proud of what I was able to accomplish. And at my funeral, they'll eulogize me for all the things that I achieved. I'll be respected. But I will still die tired and lonely because I had to do it all myself. And I was always in a hurry to get it done. I couldn't take help from others. Fortunately, if we stay in our dinghy battleships long enough, they tend to transform themselves into graceful sloops that know the water and trust themselves in the water. I believe this happens in direct proportion, again, to the degree that we come to trust ourselves. That we come to trust ourselves as enough in our limitedness. That we're able to give ourselves a home. That we're able to give ourselves a break. It happens as we recognize that we go down the streets of our lives and we have a tendency to knock on others' doors, asking them to make us lovable and capable and to tell us what to do and how to be. We ask others to make homes for us. And we gradually come to realize that we perhaps have failed to inquire within, that it's within myself that I find the resources that I need. It's within myself that I need to provide a home. When I'm willing to listen to myself, when I'm willing to respect what I hear, when I'm willing to know the truth, when I develop the capacity to forgive myself, when I learn how to be gentle with myself, to be curious about myself, rather than being afraid of myself or seeing me as a problem that needs to be solved. As I'm able to develop that kind of trust deep in the marrow of my bones, what happens is my thinking opens up. I move into dialectical, multiple perspective, multi-level, and both thinking, where I realize that everybody has a different perspective and they all have some truth in them. And I need to look at the principles that are lying within what they say. I learned how to become, in this stage, a principled thinker, rather than jumping to solutions, as I do when I'm a rebel producer, or as I do as a peacemaker when I want the right answer. Rather, I have the trust in myself to allow things to evolve in a collaborative way with others, and to look for the objectives, to look for the needs, to think about the principles of what works over time, to create quality of life, to create quality production. In this level of thinking, I'm able to see the unity in paradox. I'm able to see through structures and rules and laws to the underlying principles. I'm able to see through others' behavior to the needs that lie beneath that, to who the children are inside of them. I'm able to live more comfortably in ambiguity, of not needing to have guarantees or to have things securely tied down, but to allow the process to happen, to allow things to naturally evolve. In this stage, I have the capacity to both be involved intimately in something and at the same time to observe myself in it. It's like having my third-person observer who sits on my shoulder and says, "Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that you just got triggered and you're feeling angry? Isn't it interesting that you just got silent and you want to run away?" I observe myself while at the same time being intimately involved. I bilocate. I multilocate. At this stage, level of thinking, I'm aware that sometimes, oftentimes, I may be in all five levels of thinking at the same time. I may be in a conflict with someone, and a part of me may want to hit them. And another part of me may want to convince them that they're wrong and I'm right. And a third part of me may feel uneasy about the conflict and wishes it would just go away and wishes everybody would just be happy. And a fourth part of me may be feeling impatient, like I want to get on with it. And the generative, the fifth part of me, may be aware that I need to spend the time to work this through and really get it resolved because we've been here before and we're probably going to be here again if I don't. I can be aware of all those levels operative in me at the same time, and instead of being reactive, instead of only having the choice of being an enforcer and attacking, or instead of only having the choice of being deceptive and blaming others and avoiding accountability, or instead of believing I have to be nice all the time, instead of limiting myself to the options of individual stages, I have all the options available to me. I can move into the different levels of behavior as the situation calls for it. So being in generative thinking doesn't mean I sit on a cloud someplace. What it means is that I'm more flexible. What it means is that I see more of the complexity of the whole picture, and I'm able to shift and change and do what needs to be done as the situation changes in order to be effective. And so if I'm dealing with an enforcer, I may need to go down and draw a boundary of consequence. I may need to get real tough. I may need to get in their face. And if I'm dealing with somebody who clearly is not trustworthy, I may need to plan my strategies to contain that person, not to take advantage of them, but to contain them because I refuse to be victimized. And if I'm dealing with a peacemaker who clearly is going to become ineffective if they're embarrassed, I may decide not to give them feedback in front of others. I may decide to take care of them because that's what's appropriate for the situation. That's what they're capable of doing now. And if I see the train company coming, I may not spend the time working through my relationship with someone. I may just get us off the tracks. But as we're moving off the tracks, I'll probably acknowledge that I realize there are some things that we need to talk about after we get off the tracks. But I'll get us off the tracks. Being in generative thinking gives me all the options. I'm able to move in and out of the different levels of thinking as I need to do that. In my relationships, in this level of thinking, I move into what I call autonomous intimacy. I am more self-sufficient. I like myself. I accept myself. I trust myself. I need less approval, less acceptance, less validation from others. And the irony is I get more. I experience more intimacy. I have a space within me for other people. I know how to take other people in instead of taking them on, instead of becoming responsible for them. At this stage, I know how to maintain my own needs. I know my own definition and boundaries, And at the same time, I know how to be with others without losing those boundaries. I can be with you and be with myself at the same time. My relationships at this stage take on a fluidity where we flow in and out of one another, where there are times that we spend together and there are times that we spend in our own space. If I go back to my river analogy, at this stage, I don't give up my own boat, and I don't want anyone else to give up their own boat. Our commitment is not to take each other down the river, so we need to keep our own boats. The commitment is simply to share the journey together. I know I can make it on my own if I need to, and I also know that it's more fun and easier to do it with other people. So we decide to tie up together to share the journey, to see how much fun, see how easy we can make it for each other. And there are times that you'll spend in my boat loving me and helping me, and there are times that I'll spend in your boat loving you and helping you. But there are other times that we'll be alone in our own boats. There are times that you'll need to go shoot the rapids, and I'll need to go off in a tributary and lie in the sun. It's all right. We'll meet up again down the river. At this level, in our relationships, we realize that commitment does not mean having guarantees. It does not mean having guarantees against fears for the future. It's not a matter of holding on to things and keeping them the same. It's not a matter of restricting other people. That commitment, rather, is a commitment to the truth in real time. That I can't guarantee you I'm not going to change. I'm changing as I speak to you. I can't guarantee you that we're both always going to be here together, because we're not. There are times that we need to spend apart. There are times that we may need to spend apart for lengthy periods of time. We may restructure our relationship. At some point, one of us is going to die. We won't always be together. What I can guarantee you, what my commitment to you is to be as honest as I can be with myself, to be truthful with myself, and to let you know what that is in real time, so that you know what you can count on from me, so you know legitimately what I can help you with, what I can provide for you, and what I cannot, and still have integrity with myself. So you know what you need to take care of yourself, or what you need to go and find help with from others. That is generative commitment. That is the ultimate commitment we can have with another person. It's commitment to share the journey. To share the journey in honesty, in self-disclosure, to be truthful in the moment, so we know what we can count on with one another. My power at this stage is a power that comes from chosen vulnerability. It's a power that comes from trust in myself. It's a power that comes from not being afraid that other people can take me away from me. I'm not afraid of losing myself to others. And so I more appropriately and more often disclose myself to others to make it easy for them to understand me. And of course, as I do that, and as I don't live up to their worst expectations of me, they don't live up to my worst expectations of them. We surprise each other by being generous. We have a capacity for generosity. We have a capacity for self-disclosure. So that I let you know what I know and what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling and what I need. And in response, you tend to do that with me as well. The result of that is that we learn how to become gentle lions and gentle lionesses in the world. We operate out of what I call a circle of reciprocal cooperation, where I believe that you and I can always get more done better, quicker if we do it together. But you also need to know that if you decide to step outside that boundary, if you decide to in some way try to take advantage of me or use me or victimize me, you need to know I'm going to be right in your face. I will not be a victim. And at the same time, I'll invite you to come back into the circle when you're ready. I won't shut the door to you. I learn how to become a gentle lion or a gentle lioness in the world. I realize at this stage the power of retraditioning. As a peacemaker, I worry about finding the right answer or what authority has the right answer. And as a rebel producer, I threw away all that tradition. I try to reinvent it all myself to prove that I know how to do it, that I can control my own destiny. As a generator, I sort of relax in the world. I realize that I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have all my ducks lined up. I don't have to have all my validation proven beforehand, but rather I trust myself enough to do the appropriate homework that I need to do, but then to simply go forward and to go into the situations that I need to move into and to listen and to observe what the reality is. I trust myself that if I will do that, if I'll simply observe what's true, I will figure out what I need to do at the time. I'll figure out what the next steps need to be. I will integrate the past into the present and the future. I'll take the principles, I'll take what's made sense, and I'll re-symbolize or I'll re-tradition them. So my need in this level of thinking is a need to be congruent, a need to live with the truth, a need to be authentic, a need to live by my own principles. And that becomes my motivation, that becomes my moral criteria, to live by self-appropriated principles, to live by those principles that in my experience and in the experience that I've re-symbolized and re-traditioned from others that really make the difference in quality of life and quality production. I become a citizen of the world. My boundary of social awareness, my sandbox becomes big enough that everybody is in it. It doesn't mean that I agree with others. It doesn't mean that I agree to be victimized. It means I have the capacity to look into and to understand and to have empathy with others. I think in terms of needs. I think in terms of long-term values and results. I think in terms of patterns, not just immediate problems. I live in a posture of understanding instead of being in a posture of needing to be right. I invite you to be aware of when you find yourself in your own generative space, in your own generative thinking. When you have the time, when you feel generous, when you feel the expansiveness within you to take others in. At this stage, people have the capacity to sacrifice for others. Not all the time, not in foolish ways that keep others dependent or helpless, but they have the capacity to give to others. I invite you to be aware of when you're able to think in terms of principles, when you're able to see it from others' perspectives. I invite you to be aware of when you feel congruent. And I invite you to be aware of when you observe this in others. Because my experience is that when I spend time with other generative people, it creates more generativeness in me. That our levels of thinking match with one another. That if I become an enforcer with you, if I attack you, you tend to become an enforcer back. In the same way, if I tend to be generative with you, you tend to expand up and become generative with me. Or you leave. If you want to know how to get the best results from others, if you want to know how to help others be generative in the world, to be collaborative, to be trusting, then the answer is simple and difficult. The answer is to be generative yourself. Water finds its own levels. Others will come up and match you if you consistently stay in this level of thinking for yourself. Again, I invite you to refer to your booklet, and refer to worksheet number 17 that will give you a series of reflective questions to help you apply this to yourself. Give yourself conscious naming of what your experience is of being here so that you know the difference of when you're here and when you're not here. So that when you're not, something goes off in you that says, I do have enough time. I can afford to be truthful and to say what's true. I can afford to listen to the other person and take them in. Give yourself the option of being generative more often. to try to go through your life, to try to solve problems, to try to work out solutions, to try to negotiate with others from any other level of thinking, puts you at an unnecessarily limited disadvantage. I invite you to be the generative person you can be more often.
This is the end of tape 10.